Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. We want to remind you that these online resources are never meant to be a substitute for God's good plan for you to be present, connected, and serving in a local church under the care of qualified elders. If you live in the West Toronto area and are looking for a local church, we encourage you to come check out one of our Sunday services. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Well, Martin Luther died in the morning on February the 18th, 1546. And one biography records Martin Luther's final words. His final words, among others for sure, that would summarize his discoveries and the discoveries that he fought for. He said, "We are beggars. This is true." And one writer comments, "Beggars indeed, because God demands a righteousness we cannot produce. One, in fact, that if we could produce, would nullify the grace of God and the meaning of Jesus' sacrifice." Galatians 2:21. Now rewind to the year 1505. We find a 21-year-old Martin Luther who entered the monastery and became a monk in a desperate pursuit to find peace with God. In the year 1515, while lecturing on the books of Romans and Galatians, Martin Luther continued to wrestle with the weight of his own sin, the weight of his own guilt, the weight of his own shame. He couldn't seem to escape, no matter how much he confessed, no matter how many times he fasted, no matter how many times he went to attend a mass. He couldn't escape the guilt. And in 1515, while lecturing on Romans and Galatians, he discovered something amazing. That it was in the pages of the Bible, Martin Luther discovered the remedy for his guilt and his shame. He read the words, the righteous live by faith. He discovered that God doesn't demand a perfection from us because no one is perfect. Instead, he declares sinners righteous through the faith of the perfection in the perfection of Jesus Christ alone. Martin Luther discovered a doctrine that was foundational to the Protestant Reformation, justification by faith alone. The doctrine of justification by faith alone is what freed Martin Luther from his guilt and became, as I said, the central doctrine of the Protestant Reformation. Now, Martin Luther and the Reformers weren't trying to invent a new sect of Christianity. They weren't trying to start a revolution. They were simply challenging the dark drift that had occurred over centuries within the Roman Catholic Church, and they were leading a renewal. They were leading a resurgence. They were leading a revival of true, historic, biblical Christianity. And the theme of the Reformation was, in Latin, post tenebris lux. It means after darkness, light. This was the cry of the Protestant Reformation, that after a period of corruption and darkness in the Roman Catholic Church, the light of the Word of God was unleashed through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And no more were people subject to simply hearing the word from others and their interpretation, but they can open it for themselves. They can see it illumined by the Holy Spirit, and they can have the doctrines of historic biblical Christianity released and releasing them from guilt and shame. The Reformers back in the 1500s were simply recovering the doctrine of the apostles, particularly the Apostle Paul, who, as we've been seeing in the epistle to the Galatians is clarifying the all-important doctrine of justification by faith alone. And so it will be very important for us, whether you've been in church your whole life or whether this is your first time in church, to understand the doctrine of justification by faith alone. So let's go there. Why? Because we cannot be confused about this. Church family, we cannot be confused about what it means to be made right with God. And we're going to see it in Galatians chapter 2. So if your Bible, go with me to Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 to 21 is where we're going to be. I'm going to continue where we left off last week, going verse by verse and line by line through the book of Galatians. If you don't have a Bible, you can put up your hand, and one of the ushers would love to put a copy of God's Word into your hand. If you don't own a Bible, that Bible will be our gift to you. We'd love you to take it home and read it and have your life changed by the Word of God. Galatians chapter 2, 15 to 21. The Apostle Paul continued to clarify the gospel and combat the false gospel of the Judaizers who were seeking to add to the gospel religious rules, external forms of religiosity, things like circumcision, a Jewish system, food laws. They were saying, yes, come to Jesus by faith, but adding all these other things. And Paul is clarifying, you can add nothing to the gospel. It is by faith alone. Galatians chapter 2, 15 to 21. This is what Paul continues to say. He says, we ourselves are Jews by birth, and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be, here it is again, justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Verse 17, but if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. Verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21, I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. I'm going to give you three things that we cannot be confused about today as we clarify and continue to clarify the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel, when received by faith and repentance, transforms a life, brings a life out of death and into true life. A gospel that many of us in this room have received, a gospel that maybe you have yet to respond to. We cannot be confused about this. So here's point number one. A justification, Paul says, is through faith alone. Justification is through faith alone. Look with me at your Bibles again, verses 15 and 16. I want you to see it because, again, we cannot be confused about this. Paul says, we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not, notice, justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be, here it is again, justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be, one more time, justified. So justification is through faith alone. Now, why am I using in point number one the word justification? Well, not to appear smart, not to be a theology nerd, not to try to confuse you, but because the word appears three times in verses 15 and 16. So in order to understand what Paul is saying here, we need to understand what is meant by the theological word justification, or to justify. The word justification was very often used in legal contexts. In non-biblical Greek, it could mean to render judgment. So very simply, justification, or to justify, is a legal term which means to set right, or to deem right, or to do a person right, to make someone right, to put someone in right standing. That's what it means. Justification, to make right. So with that definition in mind, let's look again at our Bibles in verses 15 and 16. Verse 15, Paul says, "We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners." Meaning, Paul is saying, we are Jews. We may be Jews. We may be of the lineage of the Israelite people of God. We may be sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's what he's saying there, verse 16. Yet, that's important. Yet, we are Jews. We're the lineage of the ethnic people of Israel. Yet, that's important. Does that mean we are made right with God simply because of our ethnicity and our rituals and our food laws and our observance of circumcision? Verse 16 again. Yet we know that a person is not, remember our definition of justification, that a person is not made right by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be, remember our definition, deemed right before God by faith in Christ and not works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be, remembering our definition again, no one will be set right before God. Now, what is the Apostle Paul so fired up about in Galatians? Why is he writing this letter to the churches throughout Galatia? What is the core of his message that he's received from Jesus Christ? What is the core of his message that he's delivering and preaching everywhere he goes and wants to clarify again for the Galatians? What is the core of his message that he's fighting for in Galatians? Well, it's what Martin Luther and the Reformers discovered and fought for and in many cases died for. It is justification through faith alone. That a person is put in right standing with God through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Because Paul has already expressed in no uncertain terms that it cannot happen through any works of the law, through any observances or obedience to any commands, because no one can obey in a way that God requires. So it is through faith alone that right standing before a holy God who reserves the right to pronounce upon sinners the sentence of death is attained, listen, again, by faith alone in the substitutionary work of Jesus Christ in our place and for our sin. And the implication of this, as Paul is writing, is this: if the Jews cannot attain it, no one can. If people who are of the lineage of the Old Testament people of God cannot attain it by works of the law, no one can. Now you say, where exactly do you see that, Jason? I want this to be very clear, because the title of the message today is, "We Cannot Be Confused About This." Well, I want to show you. Verse 16 again. Look at it. We know that a person is not justified, not made right, not deemed right, not put in right standing with God by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified. How, Paul? We cannot be confused about this. By faith in Christ, and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one, will be justified. By works of the law, no one will be put in right standing with God. By works of the law, no one can be made righteous or seen righteous before God. Why, loved ones, is this such a big deal? Now, some of you may think to yourself, so what if a person feels like they can contribute a little bit to their salvation? Isn't that a good thing? Doesn't that indicate a good desire that someone wants to give a little bit, someone wants to contribute a little bit, someone wants to help in the process, someone wants to sacrifice something in order to contribute to their salvation? You may think to yourself, don't some traditions believe that they actually cooperate with God in the work of salvation through sacraments like baptism and the Lord's Supper? Maybe you've come from a tradition like that, where you were taught if you baptize your child, there's some salvific work there contributing to salvation. Or you participate in some sacrament like the Lord's Supper and there's some effectuous work there that contributes and becomes like a means of grace for salvation. Maybe you're saying, so what's the big deal with that? Well, very simply, the problem with that is that it just does not accord with ancient, holy scripture. Instead, ancient, holy scripture gives us the picture of a courtroom. The justification is a legal term, remember. And all of humanity, we're shown throughout the scriptures, stands condemned in front of God the judge. We all fall short of God's perfect standards. And it's only by the free gift of a perfect substitute who steps forward to pay the penalty can we be freed. Think about it like this. Someone owes $1 million. They owe a debt. And they got to pay for that debt. And the person comes and says, you owe me $1 million. And they say, I don't have $1 million. But I can give you five. I'm giving you my best. I'm participating. It's not going to do it. Nor is it anything in comparison to if someone walks in and says, I'll take care of the rest. Your five cannot compare to the rest. The weight is so large. The debt is so large. It's so unpayable, and we stand condemned. We owe something we could never contribute to. Justification is by faith alone in a perfect substitute who can put forward that $1 million in full, who can pay that debt in full. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified, put in right standing, how? By our work, by our effort, by our contributions? No. Paul says it again in Romans. By faith. Because of that, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Once we were condemned enemies, by faith we are reconciled. Faith alone. Faith alone. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Once we were condemned sinners, by faith and substitution we are made righteous. Substitution. Someone has to take our place completely. Someone has to stand in the gap completely. Someone has to come and clothe us in innocence and take upon us, on himself, our transgressions. Romans 3:26 says that God is both the just and justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Once we were condemned, by faith we are released from the penalty before God, who is simultaneously the just judge and the penalty-bearing justifier. By faith alone can we be justified before God. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin, the penalty, the debt, the wages owed is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. The free gift. A free gift is to be received, not worked for. A free gift is to be received, not earned. A free gift is to be received, not participated for, because it is free. This is the doctrine of justification by faith alone. This is the doctrine that the reformers fought for. This is the doctrine that the Apostle Paul is fighting for, because the Judaizers are infiltrating the church and saying Paul's gospel is an insufficient one. It is a false one. Yes, come to Jesus by faith, but you have to embrace the Jewish system. Otherwise, you cannot be saved. That is a false gospel. And any articulation of the gospel that tells you or tells me that something more must be added for our justification is a false gospel. So that's the first thing that we cannot be confused about. The justification is through faith alone, and this, loved ones, is good news. It's good news both because it's a biblical corrective for those who strive to justify themselves, but it's also hope for the many who know that they cannot. Now, there are two kinds of people, maybe in this room. Those who lean towards trying to justify themselves, trying to do enough, trying to add a little bit more. You feel guilty, you feel ashamed, you've done wrong in your life, and you want to do something to compensate. There are people in this room, and you are very ambitious in your life. You're ambitious in your work. You're ambitious in your school, in your studies. You're ambitious for many things, and you bring that ambition in a wrong way to your faith. And you say, I got to do something to get to God. You can't. You can't. This was the freeing thing that Martin Luther and the Reformers discovered. By faith alone. But there's also others in this room who know they can't. You're not trying to justify yourself. You know you need help, but you don't know where to get it. You know you are not right before God, but you don't know how to get right before God. You've tried many things. It's not working in your life. You stand condemned. You know it because you see your own sin. This is good news. Justification is by faith alone. Fall on His grace. Fall into His arms of love. Receive the gift of salvation, the free gift. And see Jesus Christ do a work of justification to make you right before God. Not to be confused with sanctification. The work of justification positions us in right standing before God. The work of justification handles the penalty of our sin, past, present, and future. Not to be confused with sanctification, which is the ongoing process of overcoming the power of sin. Because some of you, I mentioned this a few weeks ago, and I'll mention it again, it's worth mentioning, because some of us are confused, and we cannot be confused about this. Some of us confuse the doctrine of justification with the doctrine of sanctification. You think to yourself, because you haven't been actually made perfect in this life, because you still struggle with sin, because you still fall short, you feel somehow maybe I'm not saved. No, what you're wrestling with there is not a matter of your standing with God. Justification deals with your penalty. It is paid through faith alone. Your standing with God is secure. What you are wrestling with is the process of sanctification. It is a process that goes to the end of your life, whereby you are being made more and more like the person of Jesus Christ, progressively and powerfully overcoming the power of sin. Well, if you're here today and this week you stumbled into sin, you struggled a little bit and you thought to yourself, I must not be saved, overwhelmed with guilt. No. Doctrine matters. And you need to understand the doctrine of justification and the doctrine of sanctification, and the difference. We are justified through faith alone and given the indwelling presence and power of the Holy Spirit to then help us, as Paul says in Philippians 2, to work out our salvation then in the process of sanctification with fear and trembling. And one day, get this, not only is the penalty of sin dealt with, that's the past, not only are we going to find ourselves overcoming progressively the power of sin in the present, but one day we will be free from the presence of sin completely. That's another term called glorification. Justification, sanctification, glorification. That you are not going to struggle with your sin forever. Amen? One day we will be with God. One day we will be perfected. One day the salvific purposes of God will be culminated. And one day we will no longer be contending with the power of sin because the presence of sin will be gone forever. Now we need to understand those categories. You can't be confused about this. Justification is by faith alone. Secondly, I want you to make a note of this. A human effort only reinforces the problem. Now, justification is through faith alone. Human effort only reinforces the problem. Look at verse 17. Paul goes on, "But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin?" And then he says, "Certainly not." Well, what's Paul doing here? What's he talking about? Well, here Paul is anticipating an objection by the Judaizers. He is anticipating an objection by the false teachers who were pushing for a justification that comes through faith, but also through observance of the law. Their objection would go something like this, and maybe you've even heard a modern-day version of this. If justification, Paul, is purely by faith, then there would be nothing, no law to prevent people from sinning. So, the false teachers are saying to the Galatian churches, according to Paul's gospel, Jesus would be facilitating their own sin by removing the requirements of the law. That's the objection. And Paul says, of course not. Paul says, that's not how it works. To this, Paul says, certainly not. Now, James Montgomery Boyce wrote this. He wrote, "It is true that men are accepted by God as righteous when they are not. But this takes place only because God has first joined them to Christ. And this, in turn, implies a real transformation." In other words, to the false teachers, to the Judaizers, it's not the law that keeps us from sinning. In fact, it is the law that exposes just how sinful we really are. It's not the law that stops me from sinning. It's the law that shows me how desperate I am for a Savior to help me overcome the sin that I cannot stop doing. Notice now verse 18. He says, "For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor." So Paul says, if we've come to Jesus Christ by faith, like the Galatians did, but then continue to try to justify ourselves through works of the law, we just reinforce and give more, not less, evidence that we are sinners. Why? Because all of our human efforts to justify ourselves before God never rectify our standing with God. They just show us how lost we really are. That's what human effort does. Now, those of us that are trying to justify ourselves, the Galatians who are trying to return back to a Jewish system, is just revealing again how lost we really are. I want you to think about it this way. A city that orders a dangerous crumbling wall to be torn down because it violates every building code, for example. Demolition crew removes it, and the city declares the area to be safe. Then a few weeks later, a stubborn builder comes along and starts rebuilding the same unsafe wall. The same faulty materials, the same cracks, the same instability. As soon as the inspectors see him, they don't commend him for trying hard. They don't commend him for trying to do a good thing by rebuilding the wall. No, they charge him with breaking the law. He's proving himself to be a transgressor of the law because he's rebuilding that which was condemned. Now that's what Paul is talking about here. If you try to rebuild an old system of earning righteousness by the law, earning righteousness by trying to be more obedient, earning justification by trying to do all the right things and say all the right things, earning it, attaining it through your work. You're not becoming holier when you do that. You're proving your guilt because the law only exposes our sin. The moment you return to it for justification, you are condemning yourself. And every time you and I attempt to lean on our own efforts, thinking somehow that our efforts are contributing to our standing before God in justification, we are only highlighting the problem that Jesus came to resolve. Only Jesus can fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. And it's only through faith in him that these requirements are then fulfilled in us by virtue of our union with him. Listen to how Paul says it in Romans 8, 1-4. He says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." When we are justified and put in right standing before God, we are justified by faith. And it is through faith in the perfect law keeper that me, a lawbreaker, can have the imputed righteousness, the imputed law keeping fulfilled in my heart. It's through a substitute. And so we can't be confused about this. If somehow you're trying to contribute to justification, be released. If somehow you're trying to contribute to your standing before God, rest in faith. If somehow you're here today and you feel guilty all the time, you feel ashamed when you fall short, you don't know how to stop doing the things that you keep doing. What you're seeing happen in your life, if you have come to Jesus Christ by faith, is you're seeing the process of sanctification. You're battling with the power of sin every single day. But you can rest in your standing with God. And there are so many churchgoers and so many professing Christians that have no joy in the Christian life, that have no peace. There are even people in other traditions that have no joy and have no peace because they feel they have to contribute, they have to participate, they have to make their standing with God secure. And that is overwhelming because nothing you can do can accomplish that. Only what Jesus has done. So fall on his grace. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. And thank you for how you stood in my place. And thank you for how you stood condemned for me. And thank you for how you were my substitute. And thank you for how you take your perfect righteousness and you impute it onto me. And you take all of my sin and you've imputed onto yourself to pay the penalty once and for all that no one can pay. Thank you, Jesus. We cannot be confused about this. Justification is through faith alone. And human efforts, they just reinforce the problem. There's one more thing I want you to see, and it's this. In order to truly live, we must truly die. In order to truly live, we must truly die. Look at verse 19. Paul goes on, "For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God." Notice the language again. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Powerful. What is Paul saying? He's saying that he has died to the law. Now, he's not saying the law died. No, the law is perfect. It's God's righteous requirements. No, Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. He said that in the Sermon on the Mount. He came to fulfill the law. The law is not bad. It's God's law. Paul's not saying the law died. But he's saying he has died. He has died to his former life of justifying himself. He has died to his former way of seeking a righteousness of his own. He has put to death the pursuit of attaining to a perfection through his own efforts. And if anyone could do it, Paul was doing it. A Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee of Pharisees, more zealous than all of his peers about the things of Judaism. But he could not attain justification. And so he says, "I'm dying to that now. I'm dead to that. Don't do those things anymore. No. Now I live a life of faith in the Son of God." Notice, Paul says, "who loved me and who gave himself for me." You know, loved ones, the gospel of Jesus Christ, just in case you've forgotten this, loved ones, the gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel that sets people free. It doesn't set you free. It doesn't set me free in some theoretical, theological, kind of lofty way. It sets us free in a way that theology hits real life. That when I wake up in the morning, I can say, like Paul, "I've been crucified with Christ. The life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't live in the flesh to try to do things according to the flesh to accomplish my salvation and my justification. No, the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." If you're here today and you lack joy in your Christian life, could it be that you're trying to justify yourself? Could it be that you have confused the categories of justification and sanctification? Could it be that you're trying so hard to make your right standing with God happen when all you need to do is die? Die to yourself. Die to self-preservation. Die to the pursuit of making yourself right before God and live by faith in the Son of God who loves you so much. He loves you so much that he gave himself for you. And so I will never return to the old Jason. No, I live by faith in the Son of God. He loved me. He gave himself. That's beautiful. In other words, Paul is saying, in order to truly live, we must truly die. It's the crucified life. Finally, verse 21. He says, "I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose." To the false teachers and the Judaizers who had troubled the Gentile Christians in the region and the churches of Galatia, Paul says, if what you're believing now is true, that you come to Jesus by faith and now you have to get circumcised or salvation is not complete. If you come to Jesus Christ now by faith, but now you need to obey all the food laws. If you come to Jesus Christ by faith, but now you need to embrace a Jewish system. If all of this is true, Paul says, then Jesus died for nothing. That's what he's saying. Because if you can earn it, if you can contribute to it, if you can have a hand in it, then the Lord Jesus Christ came, lived, and died for nothing. But, loved ones, thanks be to God, Jesus Christ didn't come and live and die for nothing. Amen? Thanks be to God that Jesus Christ came to live and die and be resurrected in order to accomplish a redemption and a salvation that will move from Jerusalem to every tribe and tongue and people and language. Thank you, Jesus, that he did not die in vain. He came on Christmas. He lived a perfect life. He died on Good Friday. He was raised on Easter Sunday so that people from every nation and every tongue can come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and put their faith in Jesus Christ and have eternal life through Jesus Christ and have an eternity with him in his kingdom forever. That's amazing. Jesus did not die for nothing. So Lord, help us and forgive us for the ways that we live like you came for nothing. No. The worship team could come now in the words of this song that I love so much that we're about to sing. It is done.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.